I have an appointment on Monday. So on Monday, I get to go get my new driver's license. Since we're coming up on the next regional, I figured I would
get a new
license. So
nice.
There you go. All right, guys. We just finished watching the 16.2 announcement, and we're sitting here with Dan Bailey and Bjorn, what's his name?
Goodmanson.
Goodmanson. I'm just kidding. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, guys. We're not sitting here with Dan Bailey or Goodmanson. We are hanging out together at CrossFit Iron Mile.
That's right. Iron Mile Fitness. Ben and I just went through a run-through of 16.2. Not the full thing, but one full round plus the toaster bar and the double unders. Just kind of get a feel for it. As you guys may remember, this is our Beyond the Barbell recommended way of approaching these workouts is go through a dry run, couple rounds of a longer workout, one round of a shorter workout, just so you know what it's going to feel like. And then you can have a better sense of what the strategy really needs to be when you do it for real.
Yeah, always making sure that you kind of know what's coming so that way you can make and adjust your game plan for you.
So, Ben, is that what you did for 16.1? I know we didn't get to talk about it last week, but tell me about that. Because as I recall, I went through that workout beforehand alone.
I believe that regardless, you would have beat me in that workout handedly, no matter what. Your worst effort, I think actually in your dry run, you did more rounds than I did on my best out of my two attempts. So, you know, I don't think anything to do with it, but that workout was surprisingly difficult. And had I tried it out on Thursday night when it came out, at least a couple of rounds, I would have known how poorly I was going to do for 24 hours longer than I figured it out.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. You did fine on that workout, man. You know, you realize that a lot of people are forgetting now after this first week how, not, I don't want to say inconsequential because everything is consequential, but how much things can change from week one to week two. Like week one is always a startling look, because it's the only data point. But now you're going to basically get progressively smaller changes as we go throughout the weeks, right? Because there'll be more accumulation. So this week, the guy who got first place, you know, in a region, if he lays an egg, you're not even going to see his name on the front page of the leaderboard. It's going to be completely gone.
Right. Well, you know, that's the funny thing is I've been dealing with athletes, including my own mindset, to be honest, like this week. But in years past, when I bombed a workout, has been much more devastating to me emotionally. You know, being a little bit more of a vet this year, you know, I'm still frustrated with myself and I'm still going to be vocal about it because I feel pretty safe in this environment. So I can vocalize, you know, the way I feel. I can think out loud. And, you know, at times maybe that comes across as being like overly emotional or overly disappointed with it. But in reality, I felt okay, you know. But I've been dealing with some athletes that really feel like because they lost this 20-minute workout that they're going to lose every 20-minute workout to the same people, right? And that was really, you know, you can't think like that. Like if you're listening out there and you think that because you lost a 20-minute workout, that doesn't mean you're going to lose every 20-minute workout. You know, I have the third best score in my gym. You know, I'm used to placing closer to the top three in my region, you know, right, on a workout, right? And I have the third best score in my gym. It doesn't mean I'm going to lose every 20-minute workout, and it doesn't mean that they've beaten me on every 20-minute workout throughout the year.
Right. The specific movements that come out matter as much as the time domain, in my opinion. Like this workout has burpees and overhead lunges, right? Which are really equalizers for a lot of bigger athletes, you know? Overhead lunges, for whatever reason, it's like something that you know how to do or you don't know how to do. And it can be really difficult for people that don't know how to do them. Their breathing gets messed up. It's not something that you see every day in a typical CrossFit gym. And burpees always suck. Like unless you have a very steady mind and a comfortable burpee pace that you can go back to no matter how tired you are, like that's going to accumulate over 20 minutes. Now, if that same workout had been, you know, chest to bars, wall balls, and let's say deadlifts or something like that, you're going to see a completely different group of people winning the workout.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the one thing about burpees and chest to bars are I feel like there are people who have a good strategy or at least a good mindset going into those movements because they feel very confident about them, right? Typically, you're smaller athletes. Typically, you're athletes with a good motor who are confident in both those. But the overhead lunge was really kind of like a like you said, it was an equalizer. It was kind of that, I don't know what it's called, but just that, that random thing that Castro threw in that people had to be able to figure out if they could handle or they couldn't handle.
Right. And for me, I'll be more than willing to admit that's a movement that I love.
Like right.
Whenever that shows up at regional, any sort of walking lunge, I just feel very comfortable doing it. And for me, overhead lunges especially allow me to breathe. Like it's like a it's like when you do a set of double unders and you see one person really fighting it to work and the other person looks like they're catching their breath. Like that's the way, if you're stacked right, that's the way an overhead lunge should feel. Is you should be catching your breath and striding it out rather than like fighting it mm-hmm. the whole time.
Well, and then too, you have a really you're really confident in your burpee pace. Like you know
right.
what you can do.
I know what I can do on
burpees. It's not super fast. It's not super slow. It's just, it's what you do.
It's the same every time.
Right. It's the same every time. So you have something that's the same every time, and then you have an overhead lunge, and then you have chest to bars, and there's only eight of them.
There's only eight, man. That was huge.
Yeah. And so that was really good. You know, and at the same time, if you have a motor and if you're good at chest to bars and good at burpees, you're going to get a great score anyway. Like Josh Bridges.
Yeah.
I watched his video. He's taking 9 steps to get across the floor.
Every time.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I was taking 7, sometimes 8. You know, you were probably
taking 7 every time.
7 every time.
Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't about the overhead lunge unless it was about the overhead lunge. Right.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, Josh, he's like the ultimate little guy motor, right? Like he's going to overcome almost anything like that.
It feels weird calling him a little guy, but if you've ever stood next to him, he's not that big.
No,
you know?
he's short.
He's
jacked, but
yeah.
Short.
He probably weighs as much as we do.
His mustache might weigh as much as I do right
not
now.
Not as much as my head, but it's pretty close. Imagine if my mustache was that big on my size head, it'd be like double the size.
Yeah, you'd be hanging ornaments off of it. but let's talk about your score, because
yeah.
I think, what did you finish up in our region? 40?
No. 61.
61. Okay.
61 after everything happened. So I did 273 reps. So I finished the burpees
right
on that whatever into my 11th round. So I finished 10.
Right.
Got through my lunges and my burpees and I was digging.
Yeah, you were.
I was digging for those.
Yeah.
And because my first attempt I did 260. So that was 10 rounds even.
Right.
And that was.
What was the difference between 260 and 273? Do you remember?
The difference was pacing.
No, I'm saying, what was the difference in placing?
Oh, I didn't look if I would have remained at 260, it would have been a big difference though.
Yeah. So I'm saying like right now, mm-hmm. judging from last year as a barometer, I took 140th place on the clean and jerk max workout.
Right.
Right. And now that was a little bit of a different year because of that max, and that thing kind of gets a little bit skewed
mm-hmm.
because of the way people handled that workout, but I still ended up in the top 20.
Right.
Like, and that's kind of like some perspective that people can use, is go back and look at past years. And like, you realize like if you finish in the top 100 of all 5 open workouts in a region as big as Northern California,
right,
you're going to have no problem. You're going to be in the
right.
top 10 probably.
Yeah.
Because that's how big the swings are mm-hmm. from a 20 minute workout that is about pacing mm-hmm. to all of a sudden the week workout coming up, which is, you know, maybe a 20 minute workout if you're really strong, but it's really about how much can you squat clean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So the swings are huge, and the 61st place mm-hmm. is not bombing a workout.
Right.
Like it's not. It feels like it for you because I think last year your worst placing was what, in the teens or
yeah.
something like that. You had an amazing open last year, but
yeah.
61st place is not bombing by any stretch. Like,
yeah.
I'm thinking maybe last year, I'll have to look this up. I think I only had one workout that was inside the top 60.
Really?
Last year.
Wow.
We'll have to pull that up and check, but
mm-hmm.
that's just how I feel. I don't remember it being...
All of our BTB podcast groupies can look that up.
Yeah, they should all look that up.
Yeah, they should all look it up.
So I'm going to look it up on the phone when you're talking about this workout that's coming up.
Well, yeah. Before we get into that, you know, I think that the one thing you have to remember is that, you know, the pendulum swings both ways, right? So this was the pendulum swinging on the engine side,
yeah.
the motor side. Right. And now it's coming back to the strength side. I'm curious, though, if this is more towards, I mean, obviously this is a squat clean workout and it is heavy, but I'm curious is this the heavy workout? Is this basically the max effort?
Right. For the whole open.
For the open.
Yeah. That's
right?
a good question.
Are we going to get a point one, I mean, a point, or an A or B or whatever, you know what I mean? Are we going to get that supplemental max effort lift that we had, you know?
Right.
Last year. And we don't know the answer to that. So this could be the heavy workout.
It might be. I think they had so much difficulty last year doing the point A. And I'm not sure if they figured out how to rectify that so that people can't game it and just only do half of the workout and get the full points. But I don't know. I feel like there's going to be another heavy something.
And I feel like
last year they did 185 pound power cleans with the handstand pushups.
Right.
That's not a heavy workout, but it's heavier than a non RX athlete could ever do.
True.
Right.
True.
Here, I got my scores from last year.
Okay.
The first workout, the toe to bar.
Mm-hmm. Point one.
It was 83rd place.
Okay.
Point 1A, 159th place.
You weren't feeling good after week one.
It's not in a good place after week one. Then point two, 24th place.
Pretty solid.
Point three, 6th place. I forgot about that one. That was the wall ball. That was the engine workout last year.
Wall ball, muscle up, double under.
Yeah. 6th place. Then point four, 47th. Point five, 76th. So I had 3 workouts inside the top 50 and 4 workouts outside the top 75. There are 3 outside the top 75.
Right.
So you're in fine shape, bro.
Right. Yeah.
It's the moral of that story. Yeah. Like you're not in any trouble at all.
And I think that's one thing that I have trouble conveying to my athletes as well, you know, because I have a very competitive atmosphere here at our gym.
Right.
And I'm sure you do too, but the back and forth between the athletes, sometimes they feel like that the first open workout is settling who has the best level of fitness.
Right.
Right. And it's like, that's not the case. And then you get hundreds of thousands of text messages from your team wondering like, why did I bomb this workout? What should I have done differently? And you're like, how about this? How about we just move on? And let's go to 16.2.
All right, let's see what the rest of the workouts have in store for us.
Right. So, I don't know. I guess that's enough of a recap of 16.1, right? It's an engine workout. It's a bit of a pacing workout. And if you're a heavier athlete, it's really not necessarily your jam.
I mean, burpees, just they're going to eat you up, man.
Freaking Ben Smith, dude. Do you see what he got?
No.
I think he's like 116th in the world on that workout. Now, granted, that's about my open score. You know what I mean? My open ranking. You know what I mean? But it's like 116th in the world. Usually he's used to finishing much closer to the top. So,
what was the score?
Oh, I don't know. It's still probably like...
Still better than mine. I think I was 182nd in the world, and I was 306. So he's still better than I was.
Right. So he probably got like 310, right. 312, right?
Still a great score.
Still an awesome score, right?
But that's the thing. Those numbers get magnified even more mm-hmm. on the world scale because 100th place in the world...
Right.
Is really good.
Right.
Like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I think last year, I mean, it was kind of, the guys at the top kind of skew things a little bit, but I think they won, that Frazier won the Open, or Froning won the Open with, like, 250 points.
Right.
So it's like, it's not like they're getting single digits on every workout.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's funny, because, like, Froning, I think he got 50-something on this workout this year.
Right.
Or last week. And then Frazier got 30-something.
Right.
You know, and then like Jacob Heppner got first, right? So he won.
He was second. Bridges got first.
Bridges, yeah. Yeah. And so I was watching a Heppner and then Bridges came through. Yeah. But
I guarantee you.
I think Bridges did it twice.
After this week.
Yeah.
Like Froning's going to be in first.
Right.
Like he balanced these two things out and Dude. He's going to be in first.
Right.
You just know it's going to happen.
Right. You know what? You know who I think might do really well in this workout?
Ben Alderman.
I believe he will do well.
Yeah.
I think Noah Olsen could do well in this workout.
Yeah, Noah could do well in this.
Noah's
workout.
Got a great motor. His toes to bar are as good as anybody's, and maybe better than anybody's.
Yeah, his toes to bar are really good.
Yeah, and then he's strong, man. You know,
he's Noah's weights are. He'll be able to move it.
Mm-hmm. And I think I saw. You know, I do keep track of Noah and see what he's doing, and I saw that he did 365, I think, at the spotlight event at the ECC on the clean and jerk. So we know he has the legs for it. You know.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the thing about Noah,
and he's very consistent too when he's tired. He looks the same.
I don't feel like it's a consistency that Noah has in terms of, that's not the way I would, you know, break it down. Noah is like, in some ways he seems, when he's on the workout floor, he seems fearless,
yeah.
Right? He likes to attack. So he's always attacking. And so I guess that is consistent, you know what I mean? But he's always attacking. He's always willing to sacrifice himself and pull under a bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I've seen him out there like, man, maybe you should take a couple breaths, but he doesn't.
No.
And he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that trademark. There's a couple big breaths and just goes, and you're like, that's all you need? And that's all he needs. You know what I mean? He just went for it. So I think Noah could still do well, and he's only in like fourth or fifth, or he got third or something on this
tied
workout.
Tied for second, man.
Right? Oh, he tied for second. So
tied for second with Heppner.
Yeah, so I could see him being on top of the open, you know, at the end of this workout. You know? I don't know. I could be wrong, but...
I'll stick with running, but I could see that happening too.
Yeah. So this workout is, what do we call this? Though these ladder type progressions where you get extra time on the clock. How do we categorize these workouts?
I don't know. I like the way they did it this year, where you didn't have to wait for the full interval, mm-hmm. so you can kind of bank time,
right?
As the weights get heavier, mm-hmm. that was really cool because that means it's not a pure interval. It's really just an AMRAP.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like kind of chasing the clock. In the beginning, yeah. you're going to get out in front of it, and then as the weight gets heavier, it's going to kind of, the clock's going to come back on you.
It sucks though, because it's still going to be a 20-minute workout. It's going to be a 20-minute workout for the best guys. So yeah. that's two 20-minute workouts
in a row. Yep.
And this 20-minute workout I'm going to do much better on. So again, like we're talking about, it doesn't matter if you lose one 20-minute workout, you're going to come back and you're going to do
that's right.
what you do, you know?
Yeah. So we ran through it just right. Before we kind of got the microphones hooked up, and we did one full round. So we did the 135 round.
Right.
Took us, what, a little less than 3 minutes? Around like 245, I think.
I was a little bit behind you. I stopped. I didn't even touch anything until the 3 minute mark. So right. I was at 3 minutes.
Right.
Right. So I banked a minute.
And then we went through the toaster bar and double unders and then stopped. We didn't do the 185 bar.
Right.
And
because it was getting too hard. It was just getting way too hard.
Not ready for that.
Yeah.
So my opinion right off the bat, things that was, and again, the reason why you do something like this, all you guys out there, is theory and reality are different a lot of times. Sometimes you got a great handle on it and you know exactly what's going to happen and that's how it feels. But a lot of times, more often than not, when you actually do something, you're surprised. And you don't want to be surprised on a Monday when you got no time to figure it out, right?
That's true.
So the one thing that was surprising to me was the toaster bar. They were more difficult than I expected.
Right.
I did 10-8-7 the first round. That was fine, but it still took 50 seconds to do it.
Right.
I thought it was going to be a little bit quicker than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did 10-8-7 the second time, and it was hard to get the last couple on 7.
Right.
Like it was, I really had to go for it. I'm like, this is too early in the workout for me to be, you know, max efforting to get my toes to the bar.
Right.
Like really kicking.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a surprise for me. Other than that, the squat cleans, I think the more you can keep the same interval, the better, right?
Right.
Singles all the way. Even though it's 135, you don't need to be fast. You just need to be steady.
Yeah.
Same thing on 185.
Well, I think that like you watch Dan and Goodmanson go and you see really good strategy on the barbell, right? For most of us.
Right.
And that's singles. It's a safe strategy. It saves your energy for what's really to come. And that's those heavier barbells.
Right.
Right.
And it doesn't waste your grip.
It doesn't waste your grip for the toe to bar.
Right.
Right. But then they show us this really bad strategy on the toe to bar where they both went unbroken on their first two sets of toes to bar.
Right.
Right. And most of us, you know, myself included, I don't really want to do 25 toes to bar. Right. Like I've done 30 toes to bar. I've done, I think, 35 toes to bar unbroken, just like in isolation, but in the middle of a Metcon or even to start one. Right. I'm really not trying to do that.
And we saw that by the third round, they were going sets of five.
Right.
Right? I think that's mm-hmm. what Dan ended up doing.
Yeah.
And it honestly didn't seem like it was... I mean, he banked a lot of time in the beginning, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure it really would have cost him that much if he would have done
five
sets in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that five sets of five for the two sets, I mean, he probably would have made that time somewhere else. And maybe he would have felt better at the end for his clean and jerks.
Squat cleans.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to... It's going to be interesting to see what other guys, top guys in the world get, because it was very cool to watch Dan finish the workout.
Right.
Right? So it's like, wow, how can you do a better strategy than that, than finishing the workout? But if somebody comes out and does it in 16 minutes or 17 minutes, you're right. Like,
okay. Right.
So there was time to be made up somewhere else along the line. And maybe it was, you know, breaking up the toes to bar so that the cleans were a little faster.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
I think that is a strategy we'll see. We'll see people do that, and I don't know how it's going to play out. It just depends on how you squat clean.
And it might even be as simple as that's just going to manage your heart rate a little bit more. Like, you're not going to spike. If you do any unbroken set, you're going to be holding your breath for a large chunk of it, and it's going to spike your heart rate. So if you break it up and you're quick about it, you know, you drop off, take a breath, get back on, maybe your heart rate stays a little more level and you kind of ease into that higher RPM rather right. than like sprinting to it.
Well, you talked about like athletes finishing a little faster than what Dan did, 16, 17 minutes. You know, you're looking at that range. What do you think is the best we're going to see on this workout? Like, how fast do you think people can do this workout?
So I mapped it out on the whiteboard, what I thought were realistic intervals for the toes to bar and double unders. I thought 45 seconds a piece. Really, the toes to bar are going to be slower than that. So if we say people average even
110
a minute, let's say right. a minute mm-hmm. on the toes to bar. But the double unders were faster than I thought.
Yeah.
The double unders were more like 30 seconds.
Right.
So that's about a minute and a half between those two things. And that's holdable.
Yeah, for sure.
That's holdable, I think, even if you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
So really then it just comes down to, and that's, so it's five rounds, right? So right there, that's 5 minutes, 7.5 minutes of the gymnastics stuff.
Right.
Then it just comes down to what's the strongest, most conditioned guy going to do for his clean pace?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's the first 15, I could see that happening in a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So the next 13, I could see that happening a little bit quicker.
Right.
Because I don't see you slowing down between 135 and 185 if I'm using you as a marker.
Yeah. I actually felt better when we put that 185 on the bar.
Right.
And I went for it, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
Right. I mean, that's kind of warmed up into it, right?
Yeah.
So let's say that's like 115, then maybe on the 225, it's only 11 reps.
Yeah.
Same thing, maybe like 115-ish.
Right.
So that's like that's 4 minutes right there, right?
I think the cycle time, right? I guess
275 is 9. Bro, I think the fastest time is going to be under 16 minutes.
Under 16?
Yeah. I think somebody's going to finish it like a full 4 minute section ahead of what like the cap is.
That would be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, knowing Dan's motor and how he came out and throws the bar, the fact he did pretty good on his double unders,
yeah.
right? You know, and he did take breaks, but I don't think he missed reps. Did he miss one rep or did he miss
no,
reps?
No. Oh, well, we just saw something come across the wire that he only did 8 of the 9 275.
Yeah, Dave Castro just texted me and said Dan didn't do all of his squat cleans at 275.
He just texted you, huh?
Yeah, he texted me. And he was like, hey, bro. He's
just
like,
to let you know,
yeah.
break the news.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan, I think his score, he's going to probably have to redo it.
Right.
But he and his judge both miscounted. So he was one rep short of the workload. But I mean, Dan's strong and he's got a great motor, but like, that's not his workout.
No.
You know, that's not his workout. Like, this is your workout. This is like Neil Maddox's workout. This is Rich's
right.
workout.
Yeah.
Like, guys that are really, really efficient lifters
mm-hmm.
that move under the bar when they're tired. It looks the same all the time. I
right.
mean, I was really impressed with the way Dan moved the 315.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the 275, well. Mm-hmm. but he was taking 30 seconds, 40 seconds in between each rep.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
totally.
And you're not going to do that.
No.
And I don't think some of the fastest guys are going to do that. I mean, he got to the 315 bar. When did he get there?
Mm.
It was around like 16 and a half minutes.
Right. Yeah.
I
should be done by then.
I think you could be done by then.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my guess. Obviously, I know that's not going to happen for me.
Right.
Me as the skinnier part of this podcast knows that this is a workout. Even though I love the programming and I think it's a great test, I know that it is not one that's going to favor me. Last week favored me. This week does not. I'm going to be grinding my ass off.
Well, you're always forced to figure out the best game plan, the best strategy. You're pretty good at breaking down these workouts. You're pretty good at looking at a workout that you think I'll be good at. Also, because basically I'm the antithesis of you, or whatever that word is. You know what I mean? Like I'm the opposite of the athlete you
right.
are, right? I'm shorter, my legs are short, my arms are bigger, right? Like I lift heavier, but you have a better motor, you breathe better, you have better endurance, right?
Right.
So you look at a workout like this, and just because you're not going to do as well as me, you know, you a lot of times will break down a workout and go, this is the pacing that should be held. This is right. This is where I'm going to break down, and this is where you're going to keep going.
Right.
Right. So you and I are basically going to be at the same place, right? At 275, we're going to be there within about a minute 15 of each other.
Right.
And then at that point,
you will continue at the same pace, and
right.
I will grind to a just battling halt.
Right.
I'm just going to get those things done, man.
Exactly. Right. And you're just going to figure it out, and I'm just going to look over, and unless like my leg cramps, I'm just going to you know. And even if it does, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to stand it up, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I think at Wadapalooza, we had to do that those seven reps at 285 in a squat clean. And I touch and go to them, you know what I mean? All seven.
Yeah, that's this year.
Yeah, at Wadapalooza this year. So, you know, I don't feel like, as long as I don't do anything stupid, which I don't even feel like the way it's paced out, I'd be able to.
No.
Right?
It's just being smart.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when it's in your wheelhouse, it's in your wheelhouse.
Right.
You know? Like the toast, it's nice to know that when we did this, it's nice to know that the toast to bar, you don't need to do them big sets. Like you just don't.
Right.
You need to be able to do them in about a minute.
Yeah. You'd almost confuse yourself watching Dan do it and think that you need to do it like that.
Right.
Right.
Because he banked a lot of time
in
the beginning, the first couple rounds. He did.
And he needed that time. Whereas some of the other athletes who are bigger.
Right.
Aren't going to need that time.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, oh, you went five sets of five. And you made it the whole way through and you still finished the workout in 17 and a half minutes?
Right.
Good job.
Now, if you're an athlete like me, whose max squat clean is 310.
I wouldn't say that on the podcast.
Like if you're that kind of guy where, you know, 315, it may not happen whether you get there or not.
I need to snatch 310 this year.
Such a jerk. All right. Then I'll sandbag. Do a mile in under 7 minutes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So like athlete like me, the strategy is different. Like I'm not trying to bank time so I can finish the 315.
Right.
I'm trying to bank time so I can finish the 275 and just get into that round and accumulate those extra reps.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like you will stop working before your time runs out because I think you will get through your squat cleans at 275 and you will finish your toes to bar. And you will finish your double unders.
And then be sitting there with 315 on the bar.
And I think you'll pull it, you'll try 315. And if a miracle happens, you'll stand up once. And that will be
a PR. And
a PR.
I'll
and
be
that,
so stoked.
That'll be it.
That'll be it.
That'll be it.
I hope so, man. That's really my goal. I know this is going to be a difficult workout. I think it's more challenging cardio than a lot of people are going to give it credit for. I think it's going to feel similar to those 30 rep snatch ladders that were in the open a couple years ago.
Yep.
A couple years in a row where
really easy to come out too hot on those.
Yeah. And it's man, it's like you're just out of breath and you can't stay tight. And all of a sudden your back starts aching. And like things start hurting that you don't expect a heavy squat clean to make hurt, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those kind of workouts, but I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the challenge. I really am. And I can't wait to see what you post. Are you gonna do it tomorrow?
I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Nice.
I'll be doing it tomorrow, which is really today if you guys are listening to this podcast because we're recording Thursday night and we're going to release the episode Friday morning. So you guys will be able
to see. You're going
to
see the results of
this
conversation.
But I probably won't validate it till Monday.
That's true. They won't see the results.
No, they won't.
Okay.
So you guys.
That's right. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So the Monday validation thing, I did it as well. I feel like you're almost – if you're kind of a guy who's competing for regionals or your team is competing for regionals and you know you have a good score, it seems like it's to your advantage not to post because you don't want to give anybody else an extra reason to go again.
Sure.
Right? Is that how you feel?
Yes. I think that the other thing too with it is you don't post, you don't validate your score. So when people look at the leaderboard, Well, let me just say this. I almost validated my score at 273 early, right? And that would be like before five, just so that people would feel confident in their score. Does that make sense? Because my score was just slight.
Right.
Like they might have just beat me by just a little bit. And there are some people who are like, oh, I always compete against Ben and I only lost to him by two or three reps. That's pretty good. But in reality, they didn't realize my score isn't a top 10 score. It's a top.
So the strategy is different based on how good your score is.
Yeah.
Like for me, I knew my score was going to be
really good.
Really good. Top 10 score. I didn't want to put it up until
12
o'clock or 1 o'clock on Monday just because I didn't want somebody else to be like, I'm going to like, you know, Lauren Adams, great dude, great athlete. His score was up there all weekends.
Right.
Top of the page.
Yeah.
Like I don't want him to see that and all of a sudden be like, all right, I feel fresh. I'm going to go do this again and get 310 or something like that.
Right. So how do you feel like your team's sitting now looking at this workout and, you know, where you guys are at? I think you guys are in.
I think we're in eighth.
Eighth. I didn't scroll that far down.
Yeah. I saw you guys were in fifth. I think what was only like 20 reps separating us, right?
Yeah, there really was. It was close. It's not much, but that lets you know that everybody's really tight right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like really we're all
except
in fifth
for Diablo.
Yeah.
In the Northern California region, Diablo just destroyed this workout.
I don't even understand that.
They just, I mean, they're solid, man. They're solid. I feel good about where we placed. Mm-hmm. I had 306. Robert had 289. Jake had 272. So that's a nice spread right there. Really yeah. three good scores. And the girls, Hannah had 255, Taylor had 253, and I think Steph had 226. So there's a little bit of a drop off on our third girl. Mm-hmm. But again,
you know, 226 is still
solid, man.
Yeah.
I was happy with how everybody performed. And
what's 226 as an individual female, in the region?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay. I was just kind of curious at what the women were doing in terms of that. I feel like 226 is still a very good score, and I kind of was curious what that would be.
It felt like overall the men were performing better on this workout.
Okay.
But I don't know what number that puts her at exactly.
Yeah, like my 273 looks a lot better than Sam Briggs' 340, right?
Yeah, almost. She redid it too.
I know she did. I mean, I think she got 319 because she tied Cara Webb originally, and then she redid it and got like 340 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew she was. I thought she would win this workout.
I thought she was going to win too. But then Emily Bridgers came through, and you're like, oh, it kind of makes sense. You know, she's.
Those two. They like go back and forth.
Yeah, they do. And they don't like each other. No, I'm just kidding. They like each other. you think of your best score. You think you'll have the top score in your gym
for this workout?
For this workout.
I better not.
You better not.
I better not.
Right.
No. So this workout it's a little tricky. If it was just a squat clean workout, then I would say unequivocally, I'll probably have the fifth best score in my gym.
Right.
That is not my strong suit on our team. But because of the toaster bar, I think our girls are going to struggle. You know, Hannah's still recovering from her torn labrum. Mm-hmm. Toaster bar are not easy for her.
Right.
As you know,
yeah.
That's a hard movement for a labrum tear.
Right. I just did my test with a mixed grip, but then my wife, after that, made me do some more reps with a conventional grip as well.
Right.
So
I'm going to take that knowledge and tell that to Hannah, too. It's like the mixed grip might help her.
Oh, dude. Lifesaver.
Yeah.
Right, lifesaver.
So I know she's going to – normally this would be a workout that she could be near the top of the world leaderboard because she's that good at squat cleans.
Yeah, 300-pound squat clean, no problem.
Yeah, she can do a 300-pound squat clean, like insane. So it's going to slow her down. I don't know if she'll make it to the last bar, the 205 bar. Hopefully she does, but it's going to be tough. Same thing with Steph. She's great on the barbell. Toast a bar, like, you know, she's getting better, but it's not her favorite thing. So – we'll see how it goes. Rob should beat me on this workout. Jake should beat me on this workout. And if they don't, then either I really manned up or...
They're off the team.
Off.
They're off the team.
Or they had a bad week and they're going to redo it on Monday.
Boys, you better go train at Iron Mile.
Yeah.
No longer welcome here.
So I think overall, though, our team should do well. Like, I think we'll have a solid score. Like, we have a strong team. Like, the girls are really strong.
Yeah.
Like, they move a lot of weight. So I think overall we'll do well. It's just not me personally.
Right.
Now for you,
yeah,
I got to think you love this workout for your team.
Yeah, for our team, I feel like we're strong with this workout. I feel like I've got multiple girls that will be able to kind of step up and do this workout and do it well. I have my guys, like I feel like three of us are we're more on the stronger side, right? Like we're not on the engine side, but we're definitely on the strong side and we put that time in on the barbell and in the gym. So I feel like this will be a good workout for us. You know, obviously for me, I like this kind of workout. I want to go head-to-head with somebody on a heavy barbell. And if I lose, I'll be pissed. But if I lose, that means they did really good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I can have an off day, and if we're moving a 315-pound barbell, and like my number two, Jay, beats me on it, that would still be really good.
That's not happening.
It's still not happening, but I'm just saying it'd be really good.
I mean, what's Jay's PR squat clean, 325?
I think his PR squat clean is 315, think, or 310. But he's never put it together with a jerk and a squat clean, which he doesn't have to do in this workout, which is great. But I don't think I've ever seen him, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
I know his,
I think he's about where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be real tough.
Yeah, it will
real
be.
Real tough.
It will
Devin,
be.
However, if he can just keep breathing, he'll get there and he'll be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, that's a really kind of crazy thing is Devin is very strong. And he's strong for his size.
Right.
So the toes to bar he's going to be...
He's got like 12 abs. Right?
I know. It's an extra ab. Genetically, he's been given it.
Yeah.
That was his gift. And he doesn't even eat that well. But now he does. He eats better now, but didn't affect his abs. He just started eating better because he thought he should. I don't know why. But anyway, he can do toes to bar. So where I start getting tired on toes to bar, he's been able to keep those up. And obviously where he's a little bit lighter, the barbells start to catch up to him a little bit and eat him up a little bit. But both of us are conditioned well enough in the opposite that we're both going to do really well in this workout.
Right.
So
we talked a little bit about the men kind of in the world that we expect to do really well here. Another guy I thought of is going to do great is Paul Tremblay, Canadian, just going to crush this. I did a toes to bar workout with him in the Bahamas,
yeah,
at the Reebok Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And he can just move weight, man.
Yeah.
He's going to crush this.
Yeah.
Who else do you think we're going to see? Maybe on the female side, who do you think we're going to see big scores from?
I think Camille.
Really?
Yeah, I think Camille will do well at this workout. She's her toes to bar are good.
Right.
And I feel like she spends a lot of time under the bar, but I feel like a lot of times I see her doing stuff. She's lifting right. weights, you know? An athlete like Lauren Fisher, you know,
yeah.
is going to do really well. Again, you know, she's
so strong.
She's really strong, and she's not super... she's not big at all. Actually, she's going to do fine on the toes to bar and the double unders. So I don't feel like there'll be any issues there.
I got Cara Webb all day.
Cara Webb is going to do terrible at this workout
because her
quads are too small for the heavier lifts. So Cara Webb is going to do probably, I would say, terrible.
She is going to destroy this workout.
Yeah. So sometimes I don't think about that. I can
see her doing well. I love, the Lauren Fisher call. That's a great call.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
What about the defending champ, Katrin Tanya?
Really well.
She's a gymnast.
Dude, the Iceland girls, I think, pretty much own the top 10 in the world.
I know.
You know?
It's just silly.
I was impressed with Annie. Annie just...
came out hard.
Dude, I'm like, what is going on with these girls, man? So, I don't know. I think the Iceland girls will pretty much win everything.
There's overall,
yeah, they're just gonna win everything.
The whole 5 weeks.
Yeah, they're gonna get top three in all four more workouts.
Yeah,
I don't really know. I'm just kidding, but they're just so good. You know, Sigmund's daughter, she's really strong.
Yeah,
you know,
also
Iceland, the daughters. I don't know.
If you're a daughter,
yeah,
you got a good shot.
I think I'll just change my name. You know, and I'll be a daughter.
All right. So cool. What if we're having to spin this forward?
Mm.
What do you think is going to come out next week? Minus any Dave Castro clues, because he had the Grapes of Wrath book this week and the Fire Hydrant.
Yeah, get out of here. That didn't help me at all.
Right. I thought Cluster Ladder, Cluster of Grapes, Fire. I thought that was pretty clever, and it seemed simple enough. But I think the Grapes of Wrath, what it meant was showcase your strength. Like, because he kept saying
right,
that, showcase
yep.
your strength, right?
Yep.
So that's what he meant by Grapes of Wrath was a strength workout.
Yeah.
And there's a ladder.
I'll text him in a minute. I'll try to figure out what he was trying to say. You know?
Figure that out for me.
Yeah. As far as why things coming up, dude, I don't really know. Like, I really don't. I've stopped really predicting, you know? Like, I don't.
But it's
like,
so fun.
I don't.
And it's great for the sport. It's great to have people talking about
it. I know. I don't do it. I'm like a party pooper in that. My brother texts me. You know,
different. Well, last week.
My brother?
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah,
up there,
I know.
Dude.
I know.
Their team.
Yeah. Their team is strong.
Strong.
And my little brother is good, you know. Like, he's going to do pretty well on this one as well, yeah. you know.
What does he think it's going to be next week?
I don't know.
If he's
listening, he knows. I'm, like, slow to respond to his text messages right now because he really wants me to go to the games, and he knows the sport, and he knows the top athletes, and he's just like, he knows how close I am, but how close I'm not. So he's always, you know, he wants it for me as bad as I want it. So I don't always respond to him just to avoid having to go there mentally.
Right.
You know, this is the most stressful time of the year for me because last year in the Open, I did well, obviously, and I don't want to rehash this again because I feel like I'm repeating myself, but you know, regionals is really my jam and
yeah, for sure.
You know, there you have it.
All right, cool. Well, I will, I won't burden you with my own prediction then.
No, what is it? Most people want to hear what your prediction is. They want to hear predictions. I'm just the only one who's not participating in this.
All right, so here's what I think. I don't think it's easier to say what you don't think it's going to be, right?
I don't think it'll be squat cleans.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. We did pull-ups the first week, toes to bar the second week. I think they won't do muscle-ups the third week.
Okay. I like it.
So I think they'll take a break from the hanging stuff just for symmetry purposes.
Right? Yeah. Just like, I like it. Because you have a hole in your hand right now, and they're understanding that right now.
Right. They're understanding people have holes in their hands. So I don't think you're going to see the muscle-up workout.
Box jumps.
I think you could see box jumps. I think you're going to see a more classic CrossFit. It could be a couplet. It could be a deadlift box jump rerun.
Maybe. What about handstand push-ups?
Handstand push-ups and the deadlift? I can see that.
Like a Diane. Because they've done a Fran ladder.
Right.
Right, or Fran type, you know, workouts.
Yeah, I could see them doing that.
Yep, that's my prediction. I don't make predictions, but that's mine.
Yeah, a Diane, mm-hmm. but in like a 4 minute window to do this, something like that, or 2 minutes maybe to do a certain number of reps, 10 and 10.
Could even be like a 7 minute ascending ladder, 3, 3, 6, 6, 9, 9.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. You know, that's a lot of handstand push-ups.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's good. Yeah,
I definitely think there will be handstand push-ups. Mm-hmm. At, you know, in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So let's go for that. We'll say ascending Diane ladder next week.
Or I just have to throw it out there. 100 handstand push-ups, 50 muscle-ups, 100 regular push-ups.
I can't roll my eyes any harder.
50 ring dips, right? Something like that. Impossible. I'm just kidding.
You know what we didn't talk about at all?
What's that?
The people that are not in the Open this year.
Oh, well.
That we miss.
Let's talk about that next week.
Right.
We'll talk about the people, and we'll do a little more research. We have a few names, but we will
check out who else is missing.
Check out who's missing.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram.
Dude, is Sam Dancer doing the Open? I haven't looked. I didn't look at his score. I didn't see anything.
I got to check it out.
Yeah, because I think he might do okay on this workout.
Yeah.
if he's doing
just
the Open.
A little bit.
He might be able to handle that 275, 315 barbell combination pretty well.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We put a lot of stuff out there. And go subscribe to our newsletter. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And check us out on YouTube, because we're going to be giving you guys tips and tricks for all these workouts going forward.
Bounce, bounce, bounce.
All right. Thanks again, guys.